So now just a few words about the Nyingma Pa tradition, then we have to conclude. What does the word Nyingma Pa mean? Nyingma Pa means an old style one. Someone who follows the old ways, if you like, an old timer, even a conservative. So the Nyingma Pas are those who follow the old, the original traditions of Buddhism as introduced into Tibet by Padmasambhava, and who do not follow, perhaps do not even recognize, the later reform movements that started some centuries later by Atisha, by Tsongkhapa, and other teachers. Sometimes the Nyingma Pa tradition is known as the Red Hat tradition. The lamas are sometimes known as Red Hat lamas because for certain ceremonial purposes they wear tall red caps, whereas the Gelugpas wear yellow ones. The Nyingma Pas are at present one of the four main branches or main schools of Tibetan Buddhism, the others being the Gelugpa, the Shakyapa, and the Kagyupa. The Nyingma Pas, as far as I've been able to ascertain, are the second biggest. The Gelugpas are the biggest. The Nyingma Pas come next, though a long way after the Gelugpas, so far at least as numbers are concerned. And in the course of centuries, since the time of Padmasambhava, right down to the present day, they've produced very many highly distinguished lamas. And I can say from my own acquaintance with them, my own experience of them, that Nyingma Pa lamas, unlike Gelugpa lamas, tends to be a bit unconventional. They tend to be very spontaneous, to do things as it were on their own or even suddenly, just as a result of an inspiration that's come to them, either in meditation or at some other time. I remember, for instance, just to give a very small example, that one of my own Nyingma Pa teachers was staying with me in Kalimpong, and at breakfast he said to me one day, "What do you think I saw in my meditation this morning?" So I said, "I don't know." He said, "I saw the roof of this monastery." So I said, "Oh yes." And he said, "I saw on the roof of the monastery a great banner of victory." That is the victory of Buddhism over the three worlds, with coloured silk flounces and so on. So of course there wasn't one. So he said, "I've seen it in my meditation, we must put one up." So in the course of the next week he got one of these enormous cylindrical banners of victory made, and up it went on the roof, and that was that. So it's a very small thing, but this is how the Nyingma Pa lamas operate very often, or usually. They're their standard way of offering. They see something in their meditation, or they feel something, they get the inspiration, they do it. That's that. In the case of the Gelugpa lamas, though very good and very virtuous and very learned, they operate in a different way. If you ask them anything, or they are thinking about doing something, they'll consult the literature, especially Tsongkhapa's writings. If it's there, they'll do it. As it's written, they'll do it. They don't, as it were, trust so much as the Nyingma Pa lamas their own inner spiritual inspiration. But the Nyingma Pa lamas seem to trust this very much indeed. And that makes them, as I said, sometimes a bit unconventional. They don't usually live together in large monasteries with thousands upon thousands of monks all together, as the Gelugpas do. They tend, though they have a few large monasteries, they tend to live, that is to say, the gurus tend to live just with small groups of disciples here and there. They're not nearly as highly organized as the Gelugpas. And they emphasize very much meditation, especially Atti Yoga, or Dzogchen, as they usually call it, which is a special form of Atti Yoga. And as I've said, I've known in the course of my stay in Kalimpong quite a number of highly developed Nyingma Pa lamas. And one of the interesting things I found out about them or from them was that though they had a very high regard for the sutras, that is to say the Buddhist scriptures, the discourses of the Buddha, they esteemed the termas equally highly, just as highly as the sutras. That is to say, the termas, meaning those discovered texts, or rather those hidden texts, the texts that Padmasambhava hid away during his lifetime and which were subsequently discovered. Tibetans, by the way, Nyingma Pas believe that these termas were discovered or taken up by great lamas who are called tertons, who happened to be partial manifestations of Padmasambhava himself. And they not only took them up, but they established the spiritual tradition, taught them, and handed on the teaching and tradition to their disciples. And the tradition which derives from the termas is called by the Nyingma Pa the near tradition. Whereas the tradition deriving from the sutras is called the Fa tradition. For instance, if you follow a practice which is based on the sutras, then you have a guru for that, and he has a guru for that, he has a guru for that. There may be 80 generations of gurus to get you back to the Buddha's time. So the Tibetans say, at least the Nyingmapa say, there are many possibilities of slips, you know, when you've got 80 generations of gurus and disciples. But they say, with regards to the near tradition of the Theramadas, you're much nearer the original source. Because Padmasambhava wrote it, he hid it, it was discovered hundreds of years later, maybe only 200 years ago, and it was taken out and the tradition established by someone who is a manifestation of Padmasambhava. He taught it, and you find, you know, when you look at the list of gurus and disciples, that far from there being 80 generations, there are only 5 or 6. Padmasambhava, then a disciple of Padmasambhava, who was the Teratonin, then his disciple, then your guru, and then you. So the Tibetans say that the near tradition of the Theramadas, or the Nyingmapa say that the near tradition of the Theramadas is more powerful than the distant tradition of the sutras. This is their view. I'm not commenting on it one way or the other. But I can say this, that there's an enormous number of these Theramadas. There's a collected edition which is called the Ratna Kosha, the collection of jewels. And it's in 64 big volumes. 64 volumes, the collected edition of the Theramadas. And one of the Theramadas is, of course, the very famous work, Tibetan Book of the Dead. It's a Therma. You might wonder, where does it come from? Who wrote it? Well, it's written by Padmasambhava, according to the Tibetans, hidden away, and then taken up some centuries later. Of course, the Western scholar will have none of this. He will, of course, say, well, nonsense. Padmasambhava wrote nothing, hid nothing. These lamas who came centuries later, they just forged these texts. And then they just attributed them to Padmasambhava so that they could circulate widely and be respected. But be that as it may, we don't after all know. We must be careful about setting limits to what is possible. We have to judge these texts on their own merits. See what they are like. Read them. Maybe practice the teachings. See what they are like. And if we do this, we find that the Theramadas, for the most part, are very highly important esoteric spiritual teachings which exert vast and profound influence. So that we can say, on the whole, even today, among Tibetan Buddhists in general, among the Nyingmapas in particular, though they have had to leave, many of them, their own country, the spirit and the influence of Padmasambhava is still very, very much alive, is still very, very powerful among all Tibetan Buddhists. And we may even go so far as to say that that influence may nowadays be extending to other parts of the world. I remember I was very much impressed one day when one of my, again, Nyingmapa teachers in Kalimpong told me personally, he said, when I was in Tibet some years ago, I was reading Nyingmapa literature and I came across some prophecies attributed to Padmasambhava. And he said one of them goes like this. Padmasambhava is supposed to have said, when iron birds fly in the sky, my teaching will go to the west. So this is what that teacher, that Lama, told me. So perhaps we can say that our commemoration today of Padmasambhava, the great tantric guru of India and Tibet, is perhaps a sign that this has already started happening.